Dropout Podcasts.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to Tales from the Closet! This is a podcast about being in the closet and being out of it. Getting out of there. If you're currently in the closet, we're here to keep you company. Put in those headphones, take a walk, and journal, read, plan your escape from wherever you currently are. We have a very fun episode today. I am joined by three people I consider friends. Yeah. We'll find out a little bit more as the podcast continues. For those of you who have subscribed to Dropout, thank you so much. That's where we get literally 100% of our support, emotionally and financially. So thank you so much for supporting this podcast. It is $5.99 a month. No one asked me to do this. Why am I doing this? It's $5.99 a month, and you get unlimited access to a bunch of shows that I put my blood, sweat, and tears in. So check it out. You also get a week free with promo code Blue Apron. Just kidding. No. let's get right into it. I want to talk to you guys. How about introduce yourself? Who are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Okay. I'm Mia Folick. I'm a musician. My pronouns are she, her. And I guess I identify as in a relationship with a woman.
Great.
I guess I'm pretty bi.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Great. I identify as shackled.
As whipped, yeah.
Yeah, I identify as whipped and a good boy. Okay. Hey.
I'm Lauren Early. I'm a musician. I go by she, her. I identify as down for whatever, like cool. Queer or bi. Cool. I'm also shackled.
Yeah. Cool. And lastly,
hey, I'm Marianne Lipino. I'm a musician as well. I go by she, her, and I am gay as the day's long.
A gay one.
Not shackled either.
So. Oh, shit, baby. All of your social media handles just appeared under your name, so hey, check those DMs.
I'm so desperate.
I'm not shackled, actually. Well, thank you so much for being on this show, guys. We usually, at the top, we talk about how you came out. What was that like? I'm sure for a lot of people it happens a lot of times over and over. What's one memorable one, for good or for bad? Anything that comes to mind. Yeah.
So I guess for me, I've been pretty out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And amongst my like circle of friends and in music and in like the art world, basically just like everybody who knows me in LA probably would be surprised that I wasn't out to my family until recently. Mm. I just didn't feel like it was important to tell them.
You laugh at that.
I was just like, well, why do they need to know that? It's just like just excessive information. But in hindsight, I think it probably would have been nice to include them in maybe some of that journey, just because they had a lot of questions, and I think they were worried that I had felt like scared or repressed and like afraid to tell them, which I was. Mm. Anyway, the reason I came out to my parents is because I had a show at the Troubadour and my girlfriend was coming and so was my family.
Oh, no.
So I was like, okay, I think I should probably inform them before this show, just because I respect my girlfriend and I didn't want it to be a situation where she had to like
pretend
to be my friend. Yeah. Or like, wow. You know,
exactly,
like horrible.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was with my friend Annika. I remember Annika was like trying to figure out what she was going to wear to some party, and I was standing in her room on the phone with my mom just being like, So at the show at the Troubadour, anyway, I've been dating somebody, and it's a woman. She's coming to the show. And my mom was just like, okay. And that was it.
Really?
That was it.
A little
that
bit was of shock it. Or like, what do you
she
think?
Was... I don't think they were that shocked. I first told my sister, and my sister was like, nobody surprised me.
Such a sibling such response.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, surprised.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, I was like never really gay until I was like 20. But of course, like, I always presented myself like this, and so my family always thought I was gay, and it was like an annoying, like, my grandparents would be like, well, you know, like, if you ever brought a woman, like, we support that. And then, like, obviously, like, it became a thing, and then I just, like, because of that, it was like kind of embarrassing in this way, because it totally appeared that I had been like super tortured my whole life and like keeping it a secret.
Yeah.
And but yeah, anyway, I used to live in New York, and then I moved to Los Angeles, and I started dating a girl who's still my girlfriend. And I was playing music, and she was coming to my shows. And I think, yeah, I was like, I told my dad that my girlfriend, Kylie, would be at the show. And his, like, immediate response was like, why do you need to, like, he's just like, why are you telling me this? But it was definitely, like, a very, like, immediate defensive thing, but he's actually totally chill with it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, was he like, why are you telling me that she'll even be there, or why are you telling me that you have a girlfriend? Or
it was very vague, but definitely like the latter.
Yeah, it is weird. It is kind of like a sexual thing that you're telling your parents when you yeah. come out, and you're
I'm
like
having sex with yeah. somebody.
Yeah, here's the specific yeah. type of person I would rather have sex yeah. with.
This is and the type like, of sex I'm having.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
yeah,
that's. Yeah. I think that's what I did. I yeah. do not talk about sex in my
same.
It, like yeah. yeah, it forces you to like talk about the type of sex that yeah. you are having before yeah. like when I was dating men
it's
like
hot, it was just dad. Like yeah.
So you cut your fingers and then
yeah,
you
yeah. 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 and your parents are like, okay, well, I'll be at your show.
Yeah, I also like I never told my family about anyone I was dating forever, so then when I started dating women I was like, well, why is this any different? But
yeah,
in hindsight I definitely think that that was like convenient and allowed me to like avoid dealing with it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like it is crazy that for like straight it somehow only feels like you're telling your parents about the sex you like to have when it is queer. Mm-hmm. Cuz it's just so like assumed, and like you're like, I have a boyfriend, and they're like, oh, okay, it's over, you know, like yeah. they move on to the next thing with the girlfriend. It's like, wait a minute, you know. And you're like, don't take that second moment, like.
Yeah, for me on my end, it was like a mix of like total terror that I would lose everyone I loved, and also just like, why do you need to know too? I was like, yeah. It like doesn't seem to matter like who I'm like hooking up with. But I'd always known since I was like a kid. Mm-hmm. So it was like a secret I had my whole life.
Oh, man.
And then like, but it was like not a secret, because like it's me. Like there's no way you can hide the gay. Like I was so obviously like a little dyke. So I think they always kind of knew. My brothers kind of figured it out when I was bringing girls over. And then my dad, I think, just wanted to be oblivious to it. But then eventually, like, understood what was going on, and we had to talk about it eventually when I was like 25. Like, it took me a long time to get the guts
totally
to tell him, and by that point he'd already worked through it, and like it was totally chill.
Really? So,
yeah, yeah. He said he was proud of me for like the first time in my life.
What,
like, he's never
fuck?
Even said he's proud of me for anything else.
Oh,
yeah, I'll take that to my grave. I'm so happy about it.
So that's all you need to do from now on is just like be gay, and
yeah.
that's you making your father proud.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I should give him more details then, I guess.
man. Yeah, I will. We have a friend who, I won't say their name, but is like, if my mom could just see the women that I'm having sex with, like, she would be so proud.
I think that helped a lot in my coming out, is that Christine, my girlfriend, is like, by far the best person I've ever dated.
Really?
Like, like, to the point where my cousins, my uncles, just basically all of my relatives, when Christine met them, were like, thank you.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you for being you and for dating Mia, because, yeah, it was interesting up until now. And so I think, yeah, it was, I mean, I have a great family, and I honestly think they would have been supportive regardless, but I think it helped. It was like, guess what? I'm in a relationship with a woman, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
So, like, here we go. Like, yeah. Everything's kind of easy.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm, like, obviously pretty biased, but I'm just, like, the pool of people to date in the queer world versus, like, the cis hetero world is just, like, ugh. Yeah. Navigating, like, the cis abyss is just, like, oh, here's my boyfriend. He is in Arrested Development and plays video games all day, and maybe he'll come to the door and meet you. This is my very successful queer girlfriend who's like, wants to come say hi and brought you like a bottle of wine.
Right.
You know, it's just like, just on a manners level alone.
Yes, real. The manners.
It's crazy.
Okay, cool. Well, we are going to move, each episode we have a little topic to discuss. It's called our haunted word. It's usually a word that would haunt us as four queer people. And today it is Gold Star. Are you scared? I knew.
My heart is pounding. The speaker's right behind.
Storms are brewing. Gold Star, what does that make you guys think of? What do you... Do you like it? Do you hate it?
It makes me think of... you, because you taught me the word gold star is.
Interesting. Yeah.
When you lost your gold
star. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, when did you lose your gold star?
Oh, it was a long time ago in Germany. We don't have to get into the details. But he, in a German accent, told me that he was always a nerd growing up, and then he started rock climbing and got super buff, and then he saw the people who would bully him at a party, and he thought, no more violence. He's not gonna beat them up. And this was all in like a German accent where they like, for dates, they say like 19 and 76. You know, like that kind of thing of a German accent. I was just like, okay. Let's do this.
Let's try this.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. But what do you guys think?
Well, it makes me think of somebody I dated. and a particularly tense breakfast that we had with another friend later on after we stopped dating, and this is a woman, and we stopped dating, but we remained friends, and she's gonna hate that I'm telling this story, but she is a gold star lesbian. I am not. And I feel like she kind of always had this thing where, like, she thought that I wasn't actually, like, a lesbian or, like, into women. And I believe this was around when I was first starting to date Christine, my current girlfriend. And over breakfast, I basically just, like, was fed up with this, like, idea of me that she had, and I was just like,
fair,
you just don't like that I'm not a lesbian for you.
Whoa.
Oh, dang. Shots fired.
Yeah. And then everyone was like,
wait, everyone? Who else was there?
My friend Annika.
It was the other story.
It was a banquet hall. There were three of us having breakfast, and I was just don't like that I'm not a lesbian for you.
The entire restaurant.
And then, and then it was just like silent.
Oh, shit.
But that, I mean, I just having to be a certain type of lesbian or a certain type of queer. I think that's part of the reason that I didn't come out to my parents, is because, like, clearly I've been attracted to men, so I can just pass as straight, and then I don't have to tell anybody
until
I, like, fall in love with somebody, and I'm like, oh, I guess people have to know this part of me now, because I never was, like, I couldn't be like, I'm a lesbian, mom and dad, you know?
Totally.
It's just, like, complicated and forces me to talk about sex. It's like, well, I'm attracted. I have had dicks inside of me and I didn't hate it, but also, you know, like,
totally. It's such a different experience though, because I'm more in the Marianne camp where it's like, I am gay, I've always known this, all I can think about are women. There's not really even a chance,
except
of
in
me.
except in Germany
that's that my happen? Switzerland, honey. No, I mean, there's not even a chance I would have dated that I would have been like good friends with that dude. But it is like, it's hard when we, like, self-police ourselves. Mm. Like, I've, like, women who are bi, I feel like I've had my heart broken so bad by those people.
So
we
hard.
We both have.
Yeah, and I don't hold it against them, but it's real.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not a person's fault. It's kind of like they could be interested in anyone.
Right.
So the idea of using Gold Star as, like, an insult or, like, a supremacy thing, I think, is so fucked up. It's like, okay, good for you. You haven't experienced a lot of things. I don't know. That's just your specific experience.
That's what I'm going to say next time.
Next
good
time?
For you. You haven't experienced
good
a lot.
Good for you. Wow.
But it's true.
There is, like, a competitiveness.
Yeah, it's
in
weird.
Queerness. That's weird.
Like, how gay are you?
Yeah. Are you gay, like, enough? Are you trans,
like,
enough?
It's, like, beyond sexuality. Mm. It's just, like, queerness in every sense of, like, I'm the most radical.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the most inclusive. Yeah. I'm the fucking gay. It, like, it's stupid. Like,
it's true.
Live your life, do it actually is, like, earnest and like feels good, and if you're a super radical person, that's cool.
Yeah,
but, like, why do you need to, like, prove a point
right
of how radical you are?
Yeah,
I feel like, at least for me, I haven't even really heard the term Gold Star as much anymore. Like, I feel like that's just not as much in the vernacular as it used to be, especially when I was, like, first coming out, like, in the early 2000s. It was, like, the big deal.
I was asked, like, if I was Gold Star
all
by
the time,
almost every
everyone,
queer person I met, and was able to
really?
Be like, because I was a fucking virgin from Christian college, and it was just like, I'm Gold Star truly in every way. Like, how many stars can I get? I can list off a lot of things.
Untouched territory.
I'm untouched. Give me
virgin
a star.
Man.
I kind of feel like it's like when you're, like, a minority group, you try to just raise to the top of that specific group in such a cutthroat way, and it's like that doesn't help anybody.
But in the same, like, in the, I'm kind of realizing now that it is like a method of protecting yourselves, and I think, like, I understand that, and it makes sense, and, like, if I can't have a Gold Star, I'm totally fine with that. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
Like, I don't think I can speak to the experience of somebody who would call themselves a Gold Star lesbian and, like, feel protected by that. Like, because I can pass as straight, and I have for so long. I feel like there's, like, a privilege to my position, and so I can't really speak
that's
to,
really,
like, I can't really judge it.
Yeah, to talk about passing privilege is, like, really interesting too. I think with Gold Star on it, I can only speak for myself, but it's kind of like non-monogamy. I feel like I, like, clung to that idea for a really long time, because I was like, if there's no cheating that's possible, no one will ever cheat, and no one will ever get hurt.
Yeah.
And then it took me going to therapy to be like, okay, let's, like, raise our expectations for, like, what a relationship could be like. Not everyone's gonna, like, leave you. And I feel like it's Gold Star. It's like, if I'm only with people who are only interested in women, no one will leave me. Like, there's no sneaky men involved. It's like, anyone could leave
for any reason.
It's like a control mechanism.
Right. It's like Gold Star is, like, safer than like a bi person, which is just, like, biphobia. And in a way, like, Gold Star, I think, is, like, a rough term that I, like, there's no, you haven't like achieved anything necessarily. It's just like an indication of your preference, if
totally,
anything.
Totally, yeah.
Well, and they give you a necklace.
What? Yeah, yeah. They give you a necklace at the award shows. You've never been?
Oh, jeez.
It's called the GLAAD Awards. yeah, I love talking about passing privilege, though. Where do you guys feel with that? Do you feel like you pass? Do you feel like you don't? In the patriarchy, don't we just all pass?
I mean, I'm like generally like a PDA person, and I've been in relationships with women for like 7 years now, and I think across the board, it's always been with someone who's straight passing, and like maybe my outfit says otherwise, but like I'm generally straight passing, mm-hmm. and it's always blown my mind that like I've been so publicly like in your face gay for so long, and I've literally never had like a public encounter
like where someone yells at
no
you.
No one has ever heckled me in these situations, and it's 100% because we're always like straight passing like cute girls.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
And I'm totally completely aware of that.
It's like the squeaky clean, like palatable lesbian version, yeah. You think? Yeah, I got yelled at in my car not even a month ago
by a
woman in a large blazer who didn't have a home, so that's like part
okay,
of it.
Okay.
So maybe was like suffering a psychotic break or something from the sun, but was just like screaming faggot at us was trying to like get into the car. And it was
what?
Like truly so scary.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Wow.
And I didn't know that would happen in fucking LA.
Right.
Like that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still out there.
I've seen stuff happen in LA, but I also haven't had anything really happened to me like that, and I'm also not a big PDA person, and also I'm usually like with like more straight presenting girls, you know, so I wonder if that is part of it, but like also it's like kind of annoying in a sense because I pass inadvertently, like dudes will just hit on us or me all the time, which is a nightmare. I'm like, how can I look more gay to make you stop doing this, please, sir? Oh my god, I'm much more like a little boy.
Such a fool of yourself.
Do they see the necklace that you got at the GLAAD Awards?
But I'm not a gold star, so I can't get it. I missed out.
Damn. Oh, so none of us are. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I think that shit. Part of the privilege that is like really obvious to me, like as a musician, solo artist, is that it benefits me to look like something that could be sexualized by a man.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's more of like the privilege that, and also just like being able to exist in like different spaces.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what always comes to mind, is like that sort of like sexualizing me as an artist and in my image, and who is it for? I don't know. I'm sure I've benefited from looking like a straight woman. And then I've also benefited from looking like a queer woman.
Totally.
So it's just like, who knows? But I think that's like part of the privilege that has to be like acknowledged when you're like performing or you're like in public.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be like a performer, I spent like 3 years in Amsterdam performing at like a comedy theater, and I once got a note that was, I was doing like a little opening stand-up bit about being gay, and he was like, throw in a line about like, but I'd suck a dick. Literally was the note.
What? I mean,
isn't that like,
what?
Yeah, we have two people aghast, and
because
Lauren
don't
just
alienate
burst
anyone.
Out laughing immediately.
I
exactly.
Just don't even understand.
He was just like, it's the top of the show. We don't want to alienate over half of the audience,
oh,
is what was said. And I was
because
like,
there's no other reason
what?
To listen to you.
Exactly.
Other than like,
and I'm
maybe.
In a literal like blazer like suit. And, like, that's what that was my show outfit.
That's,
and
like,
I was
you.
Just in this little like pant navy suit. He's like, but I'd suck a dick, I promise. Are you listening?
And
please,
they're all like, yeah.
Don't go to the bathroom, stay.
Yeah. Maybe we should all, before we perform, make it clear. Yeah.
I'm available to everyone for your sexual needs.
Yeah, fully. It's just like that. Wow. This is crazy.
That's dark.
To anyone watching, I might suck your dick. Thank you.
I might. You just never know. But sign up for Dropout. Dropout.tv. $5.99 a month and you get access to...
I just watch the camera like slowly.
Yeah.
Ooh. What do you guys think about the idea of like straight passing? That still feels really sexist, right? It's still like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It still feels very like rooted in patriarchy, the idea of like straight passing, because for like queer women, everyone's fucking straight passing. That's like how thirsty the culture is. And then for men to be straight passing, it's like, well, do you fucking look like a woman? Or, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, I feel like more women are quote unquote straight passing and less men are straight passing. Because like it's just like a witch hunt for feminine women. It's like, you're not, you know.
Yeah.
Even straight men aren't straight passing. I have a lot of like very gay seeming straight male friends who I love. Yeah. I do. I really do. And I fucking love them. Yeah.
But then I feel like at this particular moment in time, there are a lot of sincerely straight people who think queerness is cool and present as queer.
It's very confusing.
And it's
very confusing.
If you go to Portland, you're like, what's up, baby? Yeah. No, everyone's straight. It's a lie. It's a sham.
Seriously, in every flannel, you're just like, what? Did you bring a grappling hook? Like, are you... That's what I've been saying now for years. Everyone looks like Tomb Raider. And it's really sexually confusing for me personally that every woman, you know, presents as Tomb Raider.
Wow, mega crush.
On Tomb Raider?
Yeah, back in the day, absolutely.
Me too, dog. We played all of them. My gay brother got all of the... All the video games we got were completely like gender flipped.
Oh my God.
My brother had the one where you're the Spice Girls and you have to learn all the dances in time to get on the bus.
That's amazing. That's real.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. But it was his choice, and I was always just like, "What weird game did Brad get?" And it was always like Tomb Raider or Spice Girls. And I was playing like shoot 'em up games. I was okay, we'll play your game. I was like, oh, I actually love Tomb Raider.
How could you not?
Okay, well, this we got special questions this week that are maybe more like musician specific, since I don't think we've ever had three musicians on the podcast before at a time. So these are for the first time off of Instagram. Usually we do an anonymous survey. And so please, everyone, if you're listening and you have a question for us, please send it in. We'd love to answer it. Oh, I'm not going to. Yeah. Thank you. We're making sure I don't read the handles to keep these anonymous. They're all cute, though. They're all great handles. Okay. First question. You guys ready?
Yes.
It's hot in here. Are you guys hot?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Have you ever felt forced by the music industry to conform to heteronormativity in your music?
No. In fact, I think that
they like it when you're gay.
It's gross. It's like a fucking like trending thing, and they think it's something that they can sell.
Ooh.
Which is related to straight people like queering themselves up.
I feel like we have to talk about
Yeah, and that Onion article that
came
just out.
Like, we don't even need to discuss it. I'm just waiting for her to say she's gay, and then I'm like, okay, then I don't have to pick apart your music video and talk about how it's like co-opting gay culture. If you can just say like, are you queer? Okay.
Yes.
Then I'm like, okay, I'm cool with it all.
Yes.
But like,
what am I missing? What is she doing?
She put out a new music video called Calm Down, or You Should Calm Down, or something like that, where basically she kind of conflates her haters with people who hate on queer people.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's like a bunch of gay icons in the music video, and it's just like, is this, I'm all about people like allowing people to come late to like the party, and like if late. She just wants to support LGBT people now and it's kind of late and it's kind of in like a weird selfish manner, like fine, but it's just confusing. I don't know what's happening. But it's like, I think it's this like pinnacle of like queer culture being useful for marketing is like the Taylor Swift
yeah, there was an Onion headline that said Taylor Swift inspires young woman to take center stage of the gay rights, or like inspires young straight woman to take the center of attention from the gay rights community or something.
Well, we'll wait with bated breath.
I surely will. I'll wait with bated breath to see if Taylor Swift is queer or not.
No way.
I think she is.
Right. I mean, what?
Yeah, it's like, I would never, I would bet against it.
Really?
Yeah.
10 bucks.
Can't wait to find out. Taylor, 10 bucks.
10 bucks. Wow, I want right. to see you shake.
It kind of makes sense.
I will.
Right now.
No.
About, like,
give it to me.
Everyone's gay.
Just like these like high profile
everyone's
relationships.
Everyone's queer, everyone's gay, everyone's thought about it. If you're listening
but
to this
we would
right
also,
now...
we would suck your dick, probably.
Everyone's gay, but I would still have sex with you, sir. Okay, great. Next one. Has writing music about personal experiences ever been triggering or difficult for you?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Like, your mom is gonna hear this song, and I guess maybe just that's specifically for me, because I think there are certain things that I talk about with these people and certain things I talk about with these people, and it's not necessarily all the same people, but I think and then you have to like perform that song every day on the road in front of people, whether or not you feel like it, and it can be hard, but you know, it's a choice you make. You decide to make that song or not, and just know whether or not you're up for it. And also, you can just delete it from the internet forever if you don't want it anymore.
Can you?
That's really interesting, though. Have you ever written like a song that you had like a lot of passion for, and then I would assume you lose that passion on the road, but how do you re-find it? How do you find how to play that song so many times? All of you. Yeah, all of you are just shaking your heads like, the fucking road.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, for the first question, I feel like I don't, like, name drop in songs, like... I guess that's fine, but like I feel like I generally like write in like a more abstract way, and I'm not trying to like, I'm like mindful of that, and I'm not trying to like single anyone out publicly. I don't know.
Well, have you ever written about something that was specifically triggering for you? Or are you saying like that's when you go
like
more abstract?
Sad songs for sure.
Totally.
But I'm not, I'm okay with being triggered.
Yeah. As an artist, honestly, that's kind of what you're signing up for in some way.
It's kind of your job.
Yeah. How's that? How does that feel? It's like, I do play the drums.
I'm a drummer, so I just like, I'm just.
Well, do you write songs or do you?
Not really. I'm trying to get into it, but like, I can't even imagine like putting like those words on the page, you know, and like that kind of stuff out there. That's like really intense, so.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I'm just here.
People over
physically.
Here.
Well, you have to like bring all your crap.
That, yeah, that's I do a lifting. Different heavy
you
lifting.
You come in with one microphone. Click. I'm ready.
I bring my microphone.
Yeah, you already did all the hard work before the tour.
Yeah. Oh, I think, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I like Christine, who I've brought up a million times, is also
we get it. Also, you're whipped.
Is also a musician and a songwriter. We talk about this all the time because we talk about like our days are literally like this emotionally. Hmm. It's like it's good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad, and it's like this is the life we've chosen, and some days it's really hard to accept that. and we complain a lot about everything we have to put up with, but when we're really like our best selves, we recognize that it's a privilege to be able to process emotions as your job. And it is hard sometimes, but I think it generally leads to a more like full, fulfilling, and interesting life. So
yeah, that's really beautiful.
But sometimes I'm just like, I hate this job and I want to quit.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. A hard fucking day.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Crafty was one bag of Cheetos and it's been a 12-hour drive. Yeah. How do you guys feel with, like, I guess this is just to the two lyric writers, but did therapy help you with that? Did like writing in a journal help you with that? Poetry.
This is like so embarrassing to say, but like, you might say it is my therapy.
No, totally.
I don't go to therapy. It probably should, but definitely like playing music really like brings me a lot of peace in that way.
Yeah, it feels very cathartic. Yeah. I would imagine to be able to write something and then perform it. It's so like emotive,
right?
Great. Well, we probably have time for one more question. So let's see. Do you ever perform in places or countries that are homophobic? Do you think it's important?
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily homophobic. I can't speak for an entire country, I guess, but like, I definitely hate playing in Italy. With my band, La Luz, which is four girls, and, there's definitely like a shift in the way that the audience feels, and especially the men watching. And like, we've had really like just kind of abrasive dudes that are like not stoked to see us up there. Wow. And are like clearly like pissed, and it's terrifying. And like, that's not even having to do with like anyone being like queer. It's just being woman performing.
If they only knew half of you are also queer.
Well, suck a dick, man. I'll suck a dick. Like, terrifying. And I can't speak for all of Italy. I'm sure there's wonderful shows out there, but we've just had so many bad ones that like, and for other various reasons, it's rough in Italy, but like, I don't really want to perform there anymore. But yeah, I don't know. What about you guys?
But the food.
Yeah, the food's all right.
But the spaghetti. I'm so sorry.
It's worth it. It's worth all of it. The misogyny, the fear. Yeah.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time in the past couple of years as not performing my own music, but touring with a band that's all guys except for me. And I mean, that's fucked up everywhere. Like, it's such a what to witness, like the wildly different experience that they're having from what I'm having. There's basically just always a moment of complete blatant disrespect, and I respond to it.
Oh my god.
It's like always a thing of like, who's that little fucking like cunt in the band?
No way.
And then in Europe, it's like so much more intense.
Yeah, totally. Oof. Yeah.
That's crazy. Who was it? One of our friends, she said, like, someone was asking, again, I know nothing about music, so I'm going to fucking butcher
this. We'll help you through it.
But he just asked her, it was like a sound guy or something.
Yeah.
Like a jerk at, like, a music festival. Just like, you have this turned on? And she was just like, yeah, but, like.
Yeah, like, obviously.
This is the most obvious question.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff happens all the time. Like, I've witnessed, like, sound dudes, like, tell my bandmates how to wrap up their cables, like, as if we haven't been doing this, like, for,
what
like, like, 200 days out of the year or something crazy, you know. It's just like absurd things where they just feel like they need to tell us what to do. And it was crazy because I was in a band before that with two guys and two girls, and it was like night and day the way they would just make a beeline to them, ask them all the technical questions, ask them what I as a drummer needed, but like not ask me. And it was just super weird, you know, like just a really weird, but that has really it has nothing to do with like gayness or queerness, but like.
But if they knew.
Yeah. Maybe they'd be like, all right, you're on my level. Nah.
Yeah, I know. That like nightmarish handshake that you get from cis men when you're like, I'm gay. And they're like, so you like objectify women
too? Yeah, totally. Yeah, it gets weird as well. Gross. They're like, what about that hot girl? Yeah. I was like, no, I don't want to go down that path with you either. Like, just leave me alone, man.
Fred. Have you ever played like in a country that was homophobic politically or where gayness was illegal?
Not illegal.
Yeah, no. Not that I know of.
I haven't.
No.
Hmm. I've mainly done just like Western European places, so I feel like they're usually chill.
Right?
We're
all like, where is it
illegal?
On my tour of Russia.
Yeah, my long
and,
Russian tour.
North Korea.
Yeah. That was crazy. So crazy that you got to play in North Korea.
Can you imagine? You wouldn't be here with us right now. You wouldn't come back.
You would not even
be
You'd be in a coma. That's
you'd
too dark.
You'd be in the...
Yeah, fuck. Well, I mean, even, like, honestly, the South, like, where it's just a little bit less accepted. Mm. Have you guys played shows there? I guess you're not very, like...
I feel like... Like, people exist everywhere who suck.
Right.
Like, in L.A.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
Yeah. There are a lot... I just feel like... It also depends on who you're touring with and what the fans are like. And I feel like I tend to tour with bands with really nice fans. And I also think I have really nice fans and really like accepting and open fans.
Totally.
And like, I don't think I'm big enough for people who are not fans of my music to care enough to like come to the show just to be an asshole. Right, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like people aren't out there being like, oh my God, Mia Folk's coming to town, that fucking
Let's
lesbian.
Go boy. Yeah.
Like, no, nobody cares. So it's just like nice people, fans, and it's cool. And we have interesting encounters with people when we're just like driving through, going to a diner, whatever.
Totally.
But honestly, people are like nice. And it may have to do with the fact that I tour with three straight white men.
White.
Which is an interesting dynamic. And then there's me. I think any guy who lives in L.A. looks gay to a lot of people who aren't in L.A.
That's probably true. Like,
what are you, vegetarian?
But yeah, we'll go. I remember we were in a diner in the South, and this couple came up to us and just said, like, what are you guys?
Oh
just
God.
Like, what are you? We're like, oh, we're a band. And they're like, okay, be careful. And we're like, okay.
That's terrifying, actually.
They were probably aliens, right? Was probably two aliens.
But we haven't really had any, or I personally haven't really had any experiences with anybody in the context of music, like being like bigoted or rude to me. Mm. I have like outside of the context of music, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I've had fans do weird things, but again, not because I'm queer.
It's just
because I'm me. Just because I'm little and easy to catch.
Happened.
Oh, I had a dude at a show kiss me. Just like drunk guy. Just like came up and just
like on stage.
No, I was like after? Watching. Like it was like we were watching other bands. We had just
That's
played.
So
we were about
romantic
to play.
Of him.
Oh,
he was
God.
So wasted.
It's like the beginning
it
of a movie.
Terrifying. Just
it's like that show
got me.
You. What's that crazy stalker show that's like really popular on Netflix?
No idea what you're talking about, buddy.
Doesn't exist.
No, it does exist. It's somehow really popular. It's just about a man stalking a woman, and it's like a brand new show.
It's popular.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much to my guests.
It really is.
Yeah. Wait. Did you have partying things?
Nah. It's cool.
Well, we are going to go one more time down the line. Thank you so much for being on. If there's anything you would like to plug, where can people find you? Should you wish to be found? What's coming up for you, Mia?
My name is Mia Folick. You can find me on the internet under that name everywhere. I have a music video coming out soon for my last single, song, whatever you want to call it, Malibu Barbie.
Yes.
I don't know when.
Cool.
But soon.
Cool. Very cool.
I just want to plug the show You on Netflix.
Oh, I forgot Lauren starred in You on Netflix.
No, my name's Lauren Early. I just put out my first ever EP.
It's really good.
The internet's easy. You can find it. It's called Patience, but I chose that before both Tame Impala and I don't want to call it. It's
enough.
A lot of people name their albums Patience.
Actually, well, like a month before it came out, I was driving down Sunset Boulevard, and there was just like the biggest billboard in Los Angeles was just like Patience, Tame Impala.
No.
Well, you just tapped into the zeitgeist.
Yeah, that's
a powerful thing.
Yeah.
That's true. You tapped in.
And you can also tap into the zeitgeist. That's Lauren Early, Patience EP. Thank you.
Cool. And you can find me touring. I'm going to go with Sasami in July through August. My name is Marianne. Please only stalk me if you're a lady. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for your questions. Please continue to submit questions and let me know what you think. I really like a DM. I'm being sincere. Please reach out. I love to talk to people who listen to this podcast, especially if you are yourself closeted. Drop me a line. Okay. I love you too. Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.